Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. This is Fred Coulter, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time according to the Word of God. Now, a lot of people speculate about a lot of things, and every time there's something going on in the Middle East, lo and behold, someone comes up with a theory and an idea. Believe this or not, and there were several books out on that. Back in 1991, just before the first Iraq war, someone wrote a book, Saddam Hussein, the Antichrist. Someone else wrote a book, Saddam Hussein, the King of the North. Didn't happen. Totally wrong. They have their geography wrong. They have their facts wrong. Let's put it this way. They don't have their facts. They have their supposed factoids, which are wrong, see? So let's come to Daniel 9. Now, we didn't get here to finish this on an earlier segment, so let's come here now to understand it, now that we know the attitude we need to have to understand the Word of God. Everyone wants to know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, and down through the centuries, there have been many theories, many things that looks like it's going to happen, but it hasn't. So scoffers come along and say, where's the promise of his coming? Well, his promise is true, but the attempt to understand was wrong. Now let's look at the last seven-year period before the return of Christ. There's going to be an event that will happen that is talked about here in Daniel, the ninth chapter, and that is the 70th week. Because from the time that the Messiah was cut off until the prince of the people, or the people of the prince, is nearly 2,000 years. Need to understand that. And we will see how other prophecies in the book of Daniel give us some understanding of its unfolding. So we know this. Number one, Numbers 14:34, that a day in prophecy is a year in fulfillment. So 1 week is 7 years. Now let's read it here. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and his sanctuary, but his end shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now this shows return of Christ, as we will see from Revelation. And this also shows what's going to happen to lead up to that. How are the 7 years divided? All right, let's read it. Verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. The he, as we have seen, is the beast of Revelation 13 and 17. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease. The midst of the week then is what? 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years, there will be peace, like we find there in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Peace and security. He's going to make a covenant. Now we can ask some questions. Since it talks about sacrifices, then we have to ask the question, when will the temple be rebuilt in Jerusalem? Because as we have already covered, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, the one who reads, let him understand, then shall be great tribulation. Now, the abomination in the holy place we've covered is what? The beast power of Revelation 13 and 17, who says, I am God, comes into the temple of God. That's when he causes all the sacrifices to cease, because they'll be reinstituted. Now, how long they will be offering the sacrifices, we don't know, but it's within the context of that 7 years. So they have to be offering these sacrifices within the first 3.5 years. Because in the midst of the week, he's going to cut off the sacrifice. Now, another thing that is misunderstood is this. A lot of people have misinterpreted this and applied it to when Jesus Christ was crucified, because he was crucified in the middle of the week. And they said when he was crucified, he stopped the sacrifices. No, he didn't. They went on for another 70 years. So that does not apply to Christ. And is Christ the Prince of the people? Or is he the Messiah? He is the Messiah. The Prince of the people is another man. That's the one who becomes the beast power, as we find in Revelation 13 and 17. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease. Now that ties in, as we will see, with Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel 12 and verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, shall be 1,290 days. And that is 3.5 years. Let's come back to Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel 12 tells us when the midst of the week would be, what would happen. We've already seen that they have to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They already have a lot of things already done in preparation for it. So when the beast power comes in, this great world leader who is going to just amaze the world, bring peace to the Arabs, peace to the Jews, it is going to be an absolutely phenomenal time. And the false prophet will be with him, and he will perform miracles, and all religious people will be huggy and kissy and nicey, and the Arabs will be tamed in their religion, because they're going to be looking for the 12th Imam to come. So they'll be all happy and joyous. And then in the midst of the week, we're going to see what else happens. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation, that is to the end, and that is the return of Christ, his second coming. And the fully determined end which is decreed shall be poured out upon the desolator. And we find in Revelation 19, the beast and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's come to Daniel, the 11th chapter. And let's see what happens. What is the provocation that's going to take place? Now, there are a lot of things that have to occur first. There has to arise a king of the north, and that has to come out of Europe. There has to arise a king of the south. And the groundwork for that has already been laid with the change of government that took place recently in Egypt, because the Muslims want to put the major caliph right in Cairo. Isn't it interesting how all of these events, step by step, fulfill prophecy if we watch? Now, verse 40, talks at the time of the end. See, we have the 3.5 years peace, and then something happens. Something like a bolt out of the blue, just like the protest that went on recently in Egypt. All of a sudden, it's there. Let's read it. Verse 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him with a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. That's why it has to come out of Europe. The king of the north can't be from Syria. It can't be from Lebanon. You don't need ships to come down and invade Egypt, do you? No, you just come right down the coast and go in. So all those who say, well, it's got to be, north of the Holy Land, right there near Syria. won't happen that way. Because you have Muslims in the north, don't you? Up there in Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, Iraq as it comes around close to Turkey. You have Muslims in Jordan. You have Muslims in Saudi Arabia. You have Muslims in Egypt. So here, this shows that the king of the north must come out of Europe. Pray tell, where of the cycles of crusades and wars that have been fought with the Muslims since Mohammed invented his insane religion? Well, between the Catholic North Europe and the Muslim southern area of northern Africa and Turkey, and what was the big thing in World War I? The demise of the Ottoman Empire, right? What happened with the final defeat of the Turks in 1453? Where were they fighting? They were right at the gates of Vienna, right? So the king of the north is going to come out of Europe. So that has to develop. All the different things that need to develop for his coming on the scene must come along. But I'm here to tell you, everything that has happened in Egypt recently is going to be accelerating to a point in Europe that they're going to have to handle their Muslim and jihad problem within their own countries. And I really suspect they're going to have to send them all back to their native countries, even if they were born in a European country by parents who immigrated. See, because the Muslims are non-assimilable into a European culture. They refuse to do it. They want to keep their religion. And oh, by the way, let's add something else here, too, that is true. Someone said the Antichrist has got to be a Muslim. Well, the Antichrist is not a Muslim. He has got to look like the Christ. And no Muslim savior will ever be accepted as someone who is serving Christ. But a leader out of Europe, out of the Catholic system, will be thought of as the savior of Catholicism. And he will be the Antichrist. Now, Islam is Antichrist. And so is Hinduism. And so is Orthodox. And so is Buddhism. And so is Protestantism to a great extent. Let's go on. Let's see what will happen here. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and sweep through, a fast invasion. He shall enter into the glorious land. Come into Jerusalem. Now remember what's in Jerusalem. Remember what breaks the covenant, see? In the midst of the week, he breaks the covenant. And that covenant is to guarantee peace with the Jews. So he comes down into Egypt. Many countries shall be overthrown. Verse 42, he shall stretch his hand out also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Then we know from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that he's going to go sit in the temple of God and say, I am God. That is the Antichrist. That is the beast power of Revelation 13, who, after the deadly wound was healed, continued 42 months. And 42 months is how long? 3.5 years. Okay? We've also found that the tribulation is 3.5 years. Now, let's examine concerning that tribulation. Let's examine the return of Jesus Christ in relationship to the tribulation, and in relationship to the events that will take place, in relationship to the children of Israel, who are the 10 tribes, and the children of Judah, who are of the Jews, and how all of that fits together. Let's come back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's follow through on this, and let's see what Jesus himself said. There are things that are going to take place. There are many events that are going to unfold. So we need to look at them one at a time and see how they fit into the scheme of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Now let's read it right here. Verse 21, after the abomination of desolation, which is the beast power proclaiming himself to be God, for then shall be great tribulation. Now there's never, ever been a time like this. And let's understand something here, very important, when it comes to prophecy. God is always on time. He is never early. He is never late. He does not speed up prophecies, and he doesn't slow down prophecies. All of the things that I just mentioned are perceptions of men as they see events. They think, oh, well, like with the thing that happened recently in Egypt, oh, well, prophecies are speeding up. No, they're not. That is your perception. They're right on time. All right, let's read on. In the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Now hold your place here and come back to Daniel 12. And let's see how the same thing was said back here in Daniel, the 12th chapter. Very similar to it. See, because this time, talking about the end time, is an important time that's going to be fulfilled. And God is going to fulfill it his way with the events that he has said would take place. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who shall be found written in the book. Then it blends into the resurrection. Okay? But there's a space of time before that happens. So come back here to Matthew 24. Now, verse 22. Here's a promise. These last 3.5 years are going to be the most horrendous times in the history of mankind. And when the tribulation starts, it's going to increase in intensity, and until it reaches a certain point, then we will see Christ is going to intervene. All right, let's continue on. Verse 22, and if those days were not limited, there would no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. Now, that's the correct translation. King James says, cut short. Many ministers get up there and say, oh, you better give your heart to the Lord tonight because he may cut the time short. You ain't going to make it into heaven. No, God isn't going to cut the time short. He limited it. How did he limit it? Beginning in Daniel 9, 7 years. And then he redefined that. In the midst of the week, he shall break the covenant. So now we have 3.5 years, right? We have that verified in Revelation, the 12th chapter, because there it shows that the few who will escape and go to a place of safety, which is not a secret rapture, by the way, that they will be there protected for a times, which is 2 years, a time, which is 1 year, and half a times, which added together is what? 3.5 years. It's limited. Not cut short. Limited. So then he gives the warning here. He gives the warning. If anyone says Christ is over here, don't believe it. If anyone says, oh, look at this man. He is so holy and the false prophet. Well, they won't call him the false prophet. They'll probably call him the Pope. He calls fire down from heaven And that helped convert all the other religions to be friendly with us, especially those nasty Muslims. Oh, that was so nice to happen. What a glorious time that is going to be. Now, I need to get some Catholic prophecies and read those to you so you will understand that the Catholics understand exactly who they are and what they are. Only they have the labels completely wrong. I do like General Patton did. Remember the movie Patton? Remember when he was up there on the ridge and he had his binoculars? He was watching Rommel come up the gully there. And he was viewing the tanks of Rommel coming. He said, "You blinkety blank, I read your book." So he knew what Rommel was going to do. Well, likewise, I have read the books of other people who profess prophecies, and I have a book of Catholic prophecies, and I'll bring those to you in the near future to show you that they have absolutely everything backwards. Let's go on. So if they say, "Here's Christ," don't believe it. "There's Christ," don't believe it. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Behold, I have foretold it to you." So he says, if they say he's in the desert, don't go. If he's in a secret chamber, don't believe it. Now here is how Christ is going to show and appear when he reveals his coming. And his coming, as we're going to see, is not going to be slam bam, once here, there it is, resurrection takes place, kingdom of God set up immediately. It's not going to be that way. Jesus defines it here, but not all of it, just some of it. So we need to put the scriptures together to see what is going to happen. So let's bring us to this point that Jesus said. Verse 27, "For as the light of day which comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, that's important to understand. Now the King James says, "as lightning that shines from the east to the west." Lightning doesn't shine from the east to the west. It comes from the north, comes from the south, it goes sideways, comes from the ground to the clouds, from the clouds to the ground. And also they now know that in giant lightning storms, lightning goes up a couple of 100,000 feet into space. So question, what shines from the east to the west as we view it from Earth? The sun. Isn't that correct? So Christ is going to make his appearance known as if there is a new sun that manifests itself out in the universe close to the earth. And as the earth turns on its axis, it's going to be like the sun shining from the east to the west. Now, we will see how that happens here in just a little bit. But this is why, as we will see, Jesus said, "No man knows the day or the hour." Verse 29, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days." Now, what is he talking about here? The entire 3.5 years? Or a segment of the 3.5 years? Now, this we'll have to figure out for the next segment. How is the 3.5 years divided? And when does the sign of the Son of Man appear in the heavens as a new sun never before seen? Well, these are exciting things to know and to understand, aren't they? And we're going to live in exciting and desperate and terrible and awful times, so we need to be strong with Christ. We need to be filled with His Spirit. We need to understand His Word. We need to love God with all our hearts and mind and soul and being. We need to claim the promises of Psalm 91, that God will watch over us, He will protect us, He will be with us. And we better make sure that our lives are right with God. That's why church at home. You can do all of these things in your home, and that's the place to start. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and download our whole Revelation and Daniel series. Very intense, very detailed study about all the end time events. And remember, Daniel is the first half of the prophecies, and Revelation is the second half, and the two of them together give you the whole picture. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.